Praise God. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Thank God. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4:4. You know, it's Thanksgiving this week. And it just seemed good to go ahead in this direction. Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Always. Again, I say, rejoice. Easier said than done. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Everybody going to be honest enough to say that?
Yeah.
Is there anybody, I don't think there's anybody in this room except maybe Emmanuel, that has not heard something along these lines? We know we're supposed to be, and for the recording, Emmanuel is the new newborn baby that's a week and a half year old. But I think every one of us, we know we're supposed to be thankful. We know we're supposed to rejoice. I think we all know that, but it's good to have a good kick in the pants sometimes with the Word of God. Because we need to be reminded of things. You know, different places in the Bible says, though you once knew. But I need to stir up your heart. Stir up your pure minds. And we need to be reminded in this area, all of us. We all need to be reminded. We all need to know and remind ourselves of what the Word says. And that we are to rejoice, not when we feel like it, because that's basically the crux of the matter right there. When it feels good. Anybody have a hard time getting happy when everything is smooth and you're, you know, it's just right, you had a good day, and it's easy to be happy and just to be thankful and just to be at peace and just to be patient and just to be kind. But that's not really the time we're talking about. That's good, and it's good to reflect and to set time aside, like what we're doing this week with Thanksgiving. You know, that's all people have, it's just a time when people have 2 days off and they get with their family, and yeah, we know it's Thanksgiving, but you know, that was initially set aside so to remember what God has done and brought us through. And it's a special time. But it's not just at Thanksgiving. Just throughout the year. And especially when you're tempted to do the opposite of what we're talking about here. That's the time that we need to do this verse more than ever. It's the time when you don't feel like it, that's the time you need to walk in it the strongest. That's the time when it's tempting to say, yeah, I know, but here we go. And not do this and let loose. Praise God. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Look on your sheet there. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. All of them. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You think this is possible? Do you believe that? Do you believe we could actually live like this? The Word says that we ought to do it, so it must be possible, otherwise God's unjust. That we could continually, now I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to all of us. We are encouraging ourselves, and the fact is, we don't have to yield to anything else but what the Word says. We can follow the Word. We can do it. If the Word says we can do it, we can do it. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, before we go any further, let's just skip down. I want you to look at, we're going to read a lot of these verses, but before we get too far, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Down on your sheet there, 1 Corinthians 10. Actually, let's go ahead and take the time to turn over there. Go to 1 Corinthians 10 in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible with you, just look on your sheet. But 1 Corinthians 10. Because this is really the crux of what I want to get to, and these verses are surrounding it. But I want to focus on the latter part of this passage. 1 Corinthians 10, let's start in verse 6. Actually, let's go back to verse 1. We'll just read this part here. Y'all there? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all ate the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Verse 7, and "do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play.'" Verse 8, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents." Now look at all these things that we've read so far. Don't become idolaters. Don't commit sexual immorality. Don't tempt Christ. And then verse number 10, look at it. "Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now all these things happen to them as what? As examples. What's an example? You know, for something for us to live or to learn from, right? You know, when you're in class, I was going to say chalkboard, I don't know. They have all these different things now they put up on the screen with computers and the different projection screens. But, you know, if you have an example, say math, I love math, and you go through and there's an example. Yeah, Nick, I like math. You gave me a look. I had to take so many hours of math as an engineer, you know. I could have had a minor in math. But I like math. I like the repetition. But anyway, you put an example problem on the board. That's for you to learn. That's an example. Or, you know, you go through the chapter and you're trying to figure out what the heck's going on, and they have usually a few example problems. So you can say, oh, that's how you do it. So what is this? When we look back and see some of these accounts, well, that's how you do it, or in this case, oh, that's not what you're supposed to do. Don't do that. That's not the way to do it. And we're supposed to learn from these things. We're not supposed to go, oh, that's not the way you're supposed to do it, so I'm going to go right ahead and do it. These were people that were spiritually dead. We're not. And none of these things that I'm saying, don't use this right now. Just set your mindset. These things are not meant to bring condemnation. Do you know who brings condemnation? The adversary. He will take the word of God and try to use it as a sledgehammer to beat you up. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for us to see the Word, anything in the Word we can do. We'll see that in just a minute in this verses that we're going to read. So just because we've all fallen short in this area, right? Every one of us has fallen short in this area. Every one of us has not done what we know we ought to, right? Is there anybody that say, no, I'm the one that's, I've always, rejoiced always, that describes my life. I've done it always. I don't think there's anybody in here, including myself. We've fallen short. But we don't have to. If we have the attitude, there's just no sense, I can't help it, then we don't resist it. But if we know that we can, and that it's God's will that we do His Word, then we can draw on the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can walk at a higher level than we have walked, and through His strength and His power and His help. And of course, if you miss it, if you make a mistake, then you know there's no condemnation. You can get right back and up and say, yep, I made a mistake, but that's not going to stop me. Just because I fell down, I'm not going to wallow there. I'm going to get up, and I'm going forward, and I'm going to do what the Lord said I could do because that's the best thing for me. That's the purpose. When we talk about what the Word says, it's to bring us to a higher level, knowing that what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. He's our helper. Help us do what? He's going to help us do the Word. Which means if we're not giving anything in Him any ability to help, if we're not attempting to do the Word, He can't help. If we say, I can't do it, then what's He going to help? How's He going to help you with that? But if we say, I can do it, I can do what the Word of God tells me to do, I will because I want all that God has for me, then He has something to help and to bring us up. So if there are thoughts of condemnation while we're talking today, just write them up. The enemy is going to try to condemn you. God is not bringing forth this message and at the same time beating you up about it. That's not the voice of God. If we're hooked up with Him and flowing the Holy Spirit right now, then what's coming out right now is what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit isn't going to say, yeah, you dummy. Doesn't work that way. Would that help if a teacher was doing it, trying to teach you something at the same time calling you stupid when you're trying to learn it? That's not the way it works. The enemy, on the other hand, is trying to distract you and get you off of what's being said in the Word so that we won't get it, so that we'll cast it off, so that we'll reject it. That's what he does so many times. And so many times, people mistake the voice of the enemy for the voice of God because they know they're supposed to be doing something, and because they know that, the enemy obliges and uses that, attacks that part and says, yeah, you're supposed to be doing this and that, and they take it as the voice of God. Because they know they're supposed to be doing that, they say, well, God, I know, and it's not God. Did you hear me? It's not God. It's the enemy. He's the one that's going to come and try to cause condemnation and say, you should have done that, yeah, I know. And that's why so many people go out of church condemned and beat up, even where the Word of God is coming forth, because they take the Word and then the enemy will come, and he does come to try to steal it immediately, and he'll say, yeah, you idiot, you should have been doing it this way. And so what do people do? They associate the Word and God with that voice, and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I can't do it, forget it, and they throw it away. But the fact is, that's what the enemy wants to happen, because he's a liar, he's a thief, and he's trying to steal. Really, what God meant for good, and he's trying to bring light, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, it will always be a life and peace and help. Doesn't matter where you've been, he wants us to come up. He's always an encourager. Our job is to acknowledge where we are and where we need to go, and let Him help us. If we say, I'm fine where I am, well, He can't help. But if we say, yeah, I want to come up, now He has something to help. Everybody with me? So what does it say here? So when we read this, don't say, yeah, I know I blew it, I just can't go forward. Say, yep, whatever we said at the beginning, whatever God is emphasizing, if I need to make adjustments, I can come up, and we all can come up. No matter how high you're walking in this area, we can come up. Amen? So verse 10 says, nor complain. So these people, they were complaining, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Well, not this part, but when you yield to, what are you yielding to when you're yielding to complaining? It's not God. So you're going off in a direction right there where you're yielding to the enemy. The pathway of yielding to the enemy, he tries to get us to go after him. And we don't want to yield to him for 1 minute. And so it puts you in situations you don't need to be in. And so we don't need to go after him. In this case, they yielded to the enemy and they opened themselves up to things. Now thank God there's mercy. And we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We don't have to yield to things. Verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition," or our instruction, "upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man." Did you get that? In other words, the devil will say, "You're messed up more than anyone else. Nobody else has this problem. You are, you know, you've created this fix. There's no way out. You know, it's just your problem. You're messed up. And nobody has this but you. I mean, and poor you, and there's no way out of it. Boy, I mean, I could see how we could get out of it if it was this or this, but there's no way for you." That's a lie. Did you hear me? I said, that is a lie. There are 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, plus all the people that have lived before. Your thing or my thing that we're facing is not new, and God, it's certainly not something that God can't fix. You believe that? He can fix it. He can fix anything. So our job is to agree with Him and say, "Yeah, okay, I believe you." He says, "No temptation has overtaken you." That means you succumb to it. "Such as is, except such as common to man." So if you got overtaken by something, if you were overtaken by something, well, join the club. All have fallen short. All. So just because we missed it isn't a time to throw up our hands and go, "Well, just can't do anything. I tried to serve God, but might as well throw up my hands. Forget it. Just can't do it. Too hard." That's a lie. It's what we do after we fall down. That's important. But notice it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it," or endure it. I'm going to read it again. Verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful." That means He's always the same. He's always true. He's always there to support. He always is there to help. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So if He tells us to do something and we're tempted not to do it, He said, if it's in front of you, you will not be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. So if you're tempted to not do the Word, to go against the Word, the Bible already says that you're able. You're not tempted beyond what you're able to bear. In other words, if God tells you to do one thing and you think, "I can't do it," which thought is wrong? God tells you, "Do something," and you say, "Yeah, but under the circumstances, I can't do it." Which one's wrong? God is wrong? Or what we think we can't bear, we actually can, and we actually can come out on top. We can. If we think we can't, that's incorrect. That's not true. That's a lie. The devil is going to try to say, "You're too weak. Nobody could bear this." See, that's a lie. It's making it sound like you could do some things, but you can't bear this. You can't. What's he trying to do? Get you to fold. Because if you agree with him, then you're right. You can't. Just because we feel like we can't is not the same as can't. Right? Just because I feel like I can't get something done doesn't mean I can't. But if I say I can't and I stop trying, I'm done. Right? You ever had a kid tell you to do that he can't do something that you know he can do? You know it's within his ability or her ability, and you know that they can do it. You've seen it before. You know they're able to do it, but they have not seen it before. They don't realize they can do it. And they're telling you, I can't. And you're saying, yes, you can. No, I can't. Well, if they sit down, fold their hands, and say, I can't, and be stubborn, they can't as long as they have that attitude, right? You can't help somebody like that. You can do what you have to, what you can do to try to coax them and get them open. But the best thing is if they say, if you said I can do it, here it goes again. I'm going to try. I'm going to do it. Right? You can't. And if God is telling us right here, He will not. Look at it again. No temptation has overtaken you except as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He said He won't. You say, how does that work? I don't know. I don't know. But God said it. That's good enough. If He said, in your situation, you will not be allowed to be tempted beyond what you're able, He won't allow it. He just said, it's not going to happen. That means if something's in front of you and you're being tempted, you have the ability to overcome. Did you hear me? That means if it's in front of you, you're being told you can't do it. You know that's a lie. Right off, it's a lie. Why? You just read it. That contradicts Scripture. But I really feel like I can't. Didn't say it unless you feel like you can't. Asterisk. Then it's actually not possible. That's the biggest problem. We don't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. We're not sure about it. So we feel like we can't. But God said, if it's what the Word says, if you're talking about what the Word says, we can always do what the Word says, period. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, because God just said, you will not be tempted beyond what you're able. You will not be tempted to the point, breaking point. In other words, God knows where our fault lines are more so than you do. You might not know where your breaking point is, but God does. And you won't go past it. Did you hear me? If you listen to Him, He won't allow it. Again, how does that work? I don't know. But He said, on this earth, you will not be pushed beyond what you can handle. That means anything in front of you, you can handle it. Somebody put it like this once. If it's in the ring with you, you can take it out. You know what I mean by that? You know, boxers, different fighters. If it's in front of you, you already know I can win. You guys believe that or not? We're getting there. We got some time here. We're going to work on it. But if it's in front of you and facing you, you may have gotten just your bell rung a little bit, but you know, I'm going to win. Why? Because it's there. It wouldn't be in the ring unless I can take it out. You know about weight classes and different things? Now, I was never a wrestler or a fighter, but I know enough. You know, I watched some heavyweight fights anyway when we were growing up. You had different people. I know that there's certain weight classes and you don't put a lightweight in with a heavyweight, right? It's not a fair fight. I know there's things that are in front of me now that I deal with that would have crushed me 10 years ago. But I didn't have to deal with them 10 years ago. So if it's in your life, automatically you know, what does that mean? I'm going to whip this thing. I'm taking it out. It's in front of me. It's going down. That's the attitude we ought to have. I feel tempted to do something. It doesn't matter. I feel tempted to I just can't. I know what the Word says, but I just can't. Lie. Everybody say lie.
Lie.
It's just so hard. It's so confusing. No, it's not. If it contradicts the Word and you have thoughts that say that you're not going to be able to do what the Word says you can do, they are false, period. Yeah, but it just seems, and I know, and that's the way the devil works. He's tricky. He tries to get a smoke screen up. Yeah, and try to make it all gray when it's actually black and white. This is how he works. If the Word says it, you know what the Word says, and you know what you need to do. We're talking about in the context, we're talking about rejoicing and thanking God, which will keep you on the track that God needs you to be on. But I just can't. I just, you know, forget it. Just can't do it. And start complaining. We don't have to do that, is my point. And that's what we're emphasizing today. We don't have to. We yielded to it, but we did not have to. Yeah, but anybody would do this under the circumstances. Not true. Not true. We don't have to. We don't have to. We don't have to yield to it. We don't have to. We'll stay right here. We're going to go past. This is the emphasis we're talking about today. We're going to spend some time on it. But we don't have to yield to it. It's a lie that I have to. The pressure's too great. It's breaking me. Not true. God said He wouldn't allow it. That's not true. That's a lie. It won't break you. Can't. God won't allow it. It says, but God is faithful. God, everybody say, God is faithful. He's faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. That means He is constant. There is no shadow of turning with Him. That means He does not change. That means He's not any different in your situation than He is in mine. He's not any different in any, He will not show favoritism to any man. He has to be faithful. He has to be the same. He has integrity. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. The devil tries to tell you He's not. He won't do what He told you to do. I know He said it. I know He did it for so-and-so, but you're sunk. Lie. That's a lie. And you know, that's exactly what he tries to push on when he's trying to get you to yield to complaining and disparaging and getting off of focusing on the Lord. Because what is it? It's fear. It's pressure. Trying to say God won't do it for you. He may not say it in those words, but it's basically you're going down. You're not going to make it. And if you dwell on that, if I dwell on that, it is really easy to start letting the words that we shouldn't say come out of our mouth. And at that point, we're yielding to the enemy. We're saying, yep, you're right, I can't. Why am I here anyway? What's going on? And you start to take your focus off the Lord, and you start setting yourself up for destruction. Why? Because you're not focusing on Him anymore. You're not letting Him. You're yielding to the enemy. You're yielding to His direction. You're yielding to His will. But we don't have to. I say we don't have to. We don't have to. We are strong in Him. But I'll tell you, right here is where the rubber meets the road. So many times, the direction of your mouth determines where you start heading. Anybody find that out yet? You can have a good day, and everything be going pretty well, but something just sort of ticks you off. Not really even, but you start complaining about it, you can end up a half hour later mad at everything. You thought, well, you know, it's not big. I'm doing so well, and just kind of, you know, poke at your spouse for no, you know, because everything's going so well, you can afford it. Everybody ever had that thought besides me? It won't harm me. I mean, there's no way this ship's going. It's going so well. So, you know, it kind of irritates me. Why'd you do that? A half hour later, you guys are in separate rooms, and it's cold in the house. And you're like, what happened? Huh? You can't afford it. Don't ever think you can afford to start going down the negative, complaining route. Now, I didn't say that you're not going to make a mistake. I didn't say that I wouldn't make a mistake. I'm saying we don't have to. It's a big difference. Well, we just do that sometimes. We may do it, but we don't have to. We didn't have to. You can't say, well, it just got to me. Well, it got to you, but it didn't have to get to you. Well, that's just too hard. Not hard. I mean, like, that's just too... Nobody can bear that. No, that's not true. It's the Word. If we accept that I just can't sometimes, then how do you know when this is one of those times and when it's not? You know what you end up doing? Yielding to it all the time because I just can't do it. Today's one of those days. I'm just going to let it hang out. And then today's one of those days where if you know it's never a good time, it's never the right time, then your attitude is always, you're in defensive mode. When stuff starts coming up, you're going to push it back and say, no. Don't have to do that. Now's not a good time. And if you slip, you say, whoops, that was wrong. Sorry, I'm getting up. Thank you, Lord. says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So whenever you're tempted, whenever you're pressed, and we've all felt that pressure, that pushing down, that I don't know what I'm going to do about this, and there's always a way of escape. Always. Did we not just read it? But with the temptation, that means if there's something tempting you to get off of God's will, whatever in every area, in this way, we're talking about tempting us to just let it fly, tempting to complain, tempting to be negative, tempting to disparage people or God or your situation or whatever, there's a way of escape. Everybody say, way of escape. That means you look around the room, there's always a door over here that you could walk through to victory. Always. Well, I don't see it. It's there. It's always there. Well, I can't believe anybody could get through this. Lie. That's a lie. If we start calling it what it is and say that's a lie, then we won't be fooled by the enemy's devices and his trickery and his smokescreen and his mirrors. We'll say, nope. I can come through this now. I'm not going to yield. I won't yield. I refuse to. The enemy will come back, but it's so hard. It's too much. You know, it's just too much. You ever heard that?
Yes.
It's too much.
Yes.
What's he trying to get you to do? Quit. Yield to him. Yield to him. Well, it's too much. This is just... This is more than anybody can bear. Not you. Not you. Because it's in front of you. And if it's in the ring, it might be something, you know, you couldn't deal with before, but now it's here. You can deal with it. Else God's not just. Now, I didn't say he's going to let it hang around forever. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Well, he's just going to put this on you and make you deal with it and bear it to his glory. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you're going to have, things will try to challenge you in life. And we have to know we can overcome every one of them. And things are going to try to push us, and this, what we're talking about specifically, is push us to let our mouth go. Push us just to go into complain mode. Well, that's it. That's the last straw. Forget it. I've done really well. I've kept my mouth. I've been praising God, but that's it. I'm done. And you just start going. Never supposed to do that. Never have to do it. Did I say we haven't stumbled? Look, I've stumbled, you've stumbled, but we didn't have to. If we walk away from here today saying, I don't have to, that's half the battle. You'll know to resist. That doesn't mean you're going to do it perfect on out, but you don't have to fail. We don't have to give into it. We can do what the Word says we can do. Everybody say, I can do what the Word says I can do. Period. All the time. You believe that? If that's true, then, well, I don't see how, I don't feel like it, I just had a bad day, all those just go by the wayside. They may feel good. They may feel like, yeah, that's true, but we know they're lies. They're lies. Now, your flesh won't like this. Because you know your flesh likes to complain?
Yeah. Yes.
Your flesh likes to just kind of let somebody have it?
Yeah.
Your flesh likes to just throw a temper tantrum?
Yes. Yeah.
Why do you think little, you know, toddlers just let it all hang out sometimes and try to throw temper tantrums? They don't have any control over that flesh yet. We're not supposed to say, well, that's okay, and just let them do it, because then they'd be a 30-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. It looks a little different, but it's a temper tantrum. Your flesh likes that. Why would it gravitate like that? The kid doesn't know anything better, you know, year or 2 year old. That's why I have parents to guide them. But your flesh will gravitate just to all about self. What are we supposed to do? Stuff that down and say, no, you're not going to act like that. No, this is what the Word of God says. You will. Praise God right now because we can. We're going to let it come out of our mouth now. We're going to thank God now. We're not going to go in this other situation. We're not going to go and start complaining about how bad it is now because God is still on the throne and God is faithful and we're going to praise Him now. Now shut up, flesh. Go sit in the corner. We're not going to do it. Amen. Now, don't take this as hard. Don't take this as nobody can do that. Take this as, yep, I see it, we're coming up. I don't care where you are, we're coming up a level. We're going to do this differently going forward. Self, that's right. That's the truth. We're going to change. We're going to come up a notch. And I can do it because God said we can do it. We can yield to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Lord. Let's read a few more scriptures here. So we read, look on your sheet there, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Go down. Actually, before we go back up there again, let's look at Psalms down at the bottom of your sheet there. Psalms 107:21. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Sometimes you need, and we've heard it, but it is a sacrifice that you just have to put some things down and say, I'm going to be thankful to God now, in spite of what it looks like. I will sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I will be thankful. Now, I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to complain. I could complain about this thing. I could say how bad it is here, but I choose to be thankful for the other things that are going well in my life. Ooh, your flesh doesn't like that. Does not want to do it. But it's when you don't want to do it the most, when you really just want to let it rip and complain about it, that's the time if we'll say, yeah, but there, I'm so thankful that I know the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that somebody came into my life and spoke the word to me or my parents or whomever, and I became born again. And because of that, I'm in the family of God and I'm a child of Almighty God. And because of that, I will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord God Almighty. And I think I'm so thankful that no matter how bad it has been on this earth, at some point I'm going to leave this earth and I'm going to spend time and eternity in the presence of Almighty God without all this fallen world, without this curse-filled world. I'll be in His presence with the angels, with people I haven't seen that maybe already departed this earth. I'm going to be there, and I'm so thankful, Lord. And I'm thankful that You have given me victory in every situation, and even in this situation, that You have already seen ahead and made provision. You can be thankful for your spouse that's still with you. You can be thankful for your children. You can be thankful for your health. And you say, well, my health is part of the problem. Yeah, but not everything has failed. Be thankful for the parts that work. Yeah, but it's this part. You know, just you can be perfectly well, but you could be going at night and you reach out and you go by your nightstand and your pinky toe reaches out and clips that nightstand, and all you're thinking about though is that little toe. You're thinking about that. Your whole body is healthy, but that little toe is screaming and you're going, "Good night, that hurt." And all your focus is on, I hope that's all you said, your focus is on that toe. And there, you can see, you can hear, your hands work, your arms work, your brain works okay, but your little toe is hurting. Well, that's the way we are. I mean, everything in our life can be going well. Our bodies are working, but there's one thing that you have pain in, or one thing that isn't working quite right, or say, well, no, it's more than that, Jim. It's 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. Yeah, but not all of it's going to pot. Say, yeah, but it is. No, not everything. You can't tell me everything is. What about the things that are working? Thank God, Lord, my heart is still beating. Well, it isn't beating well, but it's beating. If it wasn't, I'd be out of here. I can see. Well, I can't see as well as I'd like to, but you can see. Some people would love to have the sight that you have. Can't hear perfectly, but you can hear. My hands, they don't work like they're supposed to, but they work. I mean, if you'll get in the mode of what you have, not rather than what you don't have, it's the pathway to get it all restored.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you start focusing on the things you have and be thankful for those, it starts putting you on the pathway to believe for the things that aren't there to come into correction, to work in the correct state. When even if everything is working right and there's one thing that's working right and you focus on that one thing, it sets you up to have more things start working wrong because you're looking at it wrong. It's the wrong pathway. I'm focusing on this and this is wrong and suddenly something else is going wrong and now you're like, I wish I could go back to the first state because that was better. You actually did have something to be thankful for in that initial, when only your toe was hurting. You know, now your other toe is hurting. You can't just limp because now you have both feet that are messed up. And you're like, oh, if I could just have one toe messed up. We always have something we could be thankful for. Amen? We do. But our flesh wants to say, I don't care. I just want to sit here and be miserable. Right? Isn't that the way you get? If you're really just focusing on negative, you don't care. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. No, there's starving people in whatever country you want to name. Yeah, yeah, whatever. But I just want to be meh. Right? Is this too real? Huh? I don't care. I want to look at that. I want to look at the negative stuff. It's more fun. It's true. Your flesh likes it. It just wants to go. But you know what? When you come to yourself an hour later, after you let it all out and complain about this and complain about this and got yourself in a huff and you're sitting there on the couch, what changed? Did that help? If anything, your attitude's worse now. You're like, yeah, everything's bad and now I just blew it. Now I didn't say what I'm supposed to say, so now I'm stupid on top of it. Right? Then the devil's beating you up for that. Some Christian you are. You know you weren't supposed to say anything. Now look at you. Been doing it for an hour. Right? So what does that do? Forget it. Yeah, ice cream. That's right. That's the next step. Huh? Forget it. I'm just going to go watch a movie. Three of them. It's movie marathon now. Not moving from this. And ice cream and chips. I pass out. It's done. Right? And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, why didn't I just stop after an hour? Now I'm way down here. I could have stopped. It wasn't that bad. But now I've just done it for the last 12 hours. What does that make you want to do? So at some point, we have to say, shut up, flesh. Enough. And your flesh does not want to hear shut up. It does not like shut up. Your mouth does not want to hear shut up. It wants to say, I want to say what I want to say. I want to let it rip. But the fact is, that's destruction. That just leads to destruction. And no matter where we are, if we'll say where we are in that cycle or where we are in that timeline, if we'll say nope, I'm not in too deep. This is a lie. I know I want to throw a temper tantrum. I know I want to go off and say such. I know I want to go get whatever and just wallow. That's not going to help me. Lord, I choose right now to praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that's in my life right now. Thank you, Lord, that you live in me right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening me. Thank you that you said you would not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear. That means right now I have strength. And as bad as this looks, I'm going to come over this. I am going to be past this. And so I choose in advance to offer the sacrifice of praise and to praise you because you're worthy of praise regardless of what this looks like, regardless of how bad it looks. I choose to believe that it's going to come a day when I'm going to be, this is going to be in my rearview mirror and I'm going to be over it. And I choose to look at you right now. I know I could go down that other way, but I'm going to praise you and thank you now because you said I could, therefore I can. I choose to exercise my free will and do it now. Woo. Not going to wait for somebody else to pump me up. Self, I'm pumping you up. Get ready. Amen. Pump you up. That's right. We'll pump you up. Glory to God. God's good. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's a good God. Praise God. Let's just read through some of these. Give you some food for thought this week then. Let's just read through them. These are good things to go and go back to then. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 3:16-17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to God the Father through him. Praise God. And we could go on down there. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. I look at that Philippians 2:14 there. Or actually, yeah, 2:14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do how many things?
All.
We can do it. Do all things without complaining or disputing. Ephesians 5:1-4 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It says, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, and not ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself there. That's what we do. Bless the Lord, self. Shut up. You're not going to complain. We're going to bless the Lord right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your mouth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just have to take ourselves by the ear and say, self, you're going to do this. You're going to bless the Lord. Now start doing it. And we just start letting it come out of your mouth regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what you feel like. You say, Lord, we can do this.